Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the chief Oregonian of O-Rock.
How's it going, Michael?
Wow, I can't talk. It's going well. I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually staying here because I've got a podcast to record. Yes.
This is good. We've been doing this. Gosh, how many years have we been doing podcasts between this and Game Cola? I don't want to think about
long,
that.
Too long.
Too long.
Over half of our lives. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. No, 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 no.
No, no, no. Not. No, it's not over half of our lives. Let's see. So my YouTube channel is 2007. So yeah.
Gosh, that's pretty close though.
Yeah, it's dangerously close.
Yeah, I was just thinking the Game Cola podcast I think did start in 2009. I wonder, like, it's got to be one of the longest running podcasts by now. Like, I've thought about that, about their year-end awards, too, which started in, I believe, 2002. So they also have to be one of the longest-running, like, video game awards, at least on the internet, which is pretty wild to think about.
Longest-running podcasts. I know they used to call podcasts radio shows, though.
Okay, well, if you don't take radio into account...
They only list monetized podcasts, so if, like,
oh, that's
the ones you have to
fair.
Pay for, and that's bogus.
All right, well, maybe we need to buy an ad on the Game Cola podcast so they can be considered for that, for the monetized podcast category. I wonder how much Jetty would charge.
Is he the one to ask, though, or should we ask Joe?
Oh, well, you're right, I'm sorry, we should ask Joe. Well, maybe someday. Anyway, that's enough plugs for a podcast that is not this one.
It's not as cool as our podcast. I don't know.
Oh, that's extremely debatable.
Yeah, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Now all their long-running fans are going to yell at us.
So, do any video game-related things in the past month?
Yeah, I guess. I'm still trying to look up podcast shows. I'm sorry. No, I honestly think the original podcasters were just radio people that just jumped over.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like NPR podcasts that I have listened to that have been on the radio for a long time. Like, wait, don't tell me. I think started on NPR in like late '90s. So they definitely have Game Cola beat by a significant amount.
So wait, is that the name of the podcast? Wait, don't tell
me. It is. I'm sorry. Yes, it's
you
called
said
wait,
it wait. like you were trying to think of the name.
I'm so sorry. Obviously, I just assumed that everyone has as an extensive knowledge of NPR podcasts as I do.
Well, I listen to NPR like every day. In high school, it wasn't my choice. It was the carpool. So the carpool person listened to NPR every day. So, I don't know what I would have listened to. Probably terrible music.
I used to bring, like, my little Discman CD player on the bus with me and listen to my own personal mixes on the way to school. Mostly, a lot of times I wouldn't actually even have a disc in there. I would just be putting my headphones on so that nobody would talk to me. But there would occasionally be, like, Weezer mixtapes in there. Stuff like
oh
that.
Man, you had more than one, because I had I made my own CD, and that was basically it. I didn't make other CDs,
just the one mix CD. Several mix CDs.
Oh, there we go. All things considered, I remember that podcast. I was going to be on that, and they didn't put me in there. It was very sad.
You were going to be on All Things Considered?
That was the one where, they were covering World Youth Day when the Pope went to Spain. Gosh, 2010, 2011. And so I was one of the people that they interviewed for that. I think because I had an American flag, so they knew I spoke English. And so I just did like a 10-minute interview with this one woman. I know there's a picture of me being interviewed, but it ended up not being on the show. Well, yeah, one of the people I was traveling with just was like, here's a picture of Michael being interviewed for All Things Considered.
Oh my gosh, that's
and
so
then I
cool.
made the joke, well, I guess obviously not all things are considered, because my point of view was not considered. I didn't make the cut.
I thought for sure this was going to be an interview about, like, the something-ith anniversary of Nancy Drew or something like that. No, wow.
No, I recently did an interview, I think it was this Sunday.
Yeah.
Where I did an interview about the Nancy Drew game series with someone from, I think it's Refinery 23.
Man, so fancy. Look at you doing interviews.
Yeah, I haven't read the actual article yet. I'm a little afraid. I got to my first quote and it's like, oh, says Michael Gray of XYZ. And I'm like, oh, that's enough for me. Michael Gray, a game reviewer and player who goes by Arglefunth the Nancy Drew Dude on social media. That was actually one of the questions she asked me towards the end was, it's like, what should I call you? And I had no idea. Like, game reviewer? We just floated a couple of things, and that works. So.
You've certainly reviewed games. That is not inaccurate. Yeah.
I felt bad because my long-running review series has not been finished because I keep not doing it.
Oh.
I'll have to actually look that up. It could be the longest... That could be in the running for longest podcast, too, with my long-running review series. All right, when did I start? 2016. So in May 2016, I started my project to review all of the Nancy Drew games, and there's only 33 of them.
2016, what, that was like a year ago, 2 years ago tops?
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't even gotten to game 20 yet, so it's like,
oh,
5 years. Have I been doing 4 games a year? Am I that bad at it?
Too much other content you got to produce. You got book reviews, you got the Everything's Wrong With videos, you got the,
oh,
what,
man,
the,
that's
the shipping videos.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's great. Maybe that's why I stopped the
Yeah.
No, I mean, I got the to-do list. I've got my to-do list, and the next thing on my to-do list in between reviewing game number 19 and game number 20 is Cotton Mom Romance, the mom's game, which is also something that has been sitting/ignored for a long time by me. So I actually started writing the final pathway. It seems weird that I put it off for so long. I even forget when I started this project. But so I wrote the first 2 chapters of the pathway, and then I came up with an outline for the rest of the pathway because the outline I'd originally written 5-6 years ago, it just wasn't good enough. I wanted to change things around. I don't know how much detail you remember, or I barely
almost
remember
nothing. There was a funeral at one point, and you were hitting on moms at a funeral. I'm not sure if that actually ended up in the game. I remember talking about it.
Yes, that's it. We hit on moms at a funeral. Okay, so 2018 is when I did the first pathway of this game. And then it looks like I did another pathway, 2020. So one in, like, April and then one in September. Oh, yeah, because we talked about it on the podcast and we changed around the names of some of the characters. And so in this new pathway, instead of the husband being Frank Hardy, his name is now Sean Hardy. Because I guess Frank is probably copyrighted.
Just name him Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, is that a... I think I know what you're referencing.
That was a wrestling joke, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the wrestler...
I'm sorry.
I know enough to pick up on them, because they come up every now and then when you look for Hardy Boys stuff.
I bet, because they're a tag team. They're two actual real-life brothers, and their tag team name was the Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in hindsight, it feels like it should have been illegal to call them that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure when they were first debuting, there were a lot of jokes about them being managed by Nancy Drew. But then they became famous enough to be their own thing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be my next, I guess. So this past month, I've basically just been juggling writing the final Pathway of the Moms game and working on the Oregon Trail game. So
I've seen a few different versions of that in my inbox over the month.
Certainly have. Let me see what I can talk about. I mean, I'm not sure if I want a monologue.
There's been a lot of behind the scenes chatter lately about us trying not to get sued by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah. I was going to ask, where were we last month? So was last month where we got into the puzzle of figuring out how to take pictures? Because phones only take full screen pictures, not widescreen pictures.
We were talking about that and about how I kept getting stuck in the woods puzzle, I believe. I think this was before we... Yeah, because I think last month was when we talked about, like, different navigation methods in adventure games and, like, Deja Vu and how other games do it. So I think that was before we settled on the arrow interface that we have been using going forward.
Yeah, and I think it's a nice interface. I think it works perfectly well. So
it's super clean. I like it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Turns out the problem is I was assuming we would be doing like an interface sort of closer to Nancy Drew or Carol Reed series where basically you move your cursor around. That's not just them. It's like pretty much every adventure game where you move your cursor around and say when your cursor turns into a left arrow, you can go to the left. Or where your cursor turns into a right arrow, you could go to the right. I was assuming that, and that allows for a bit more, shall I say, freedom or precision. So, mm-hmm. like, if I want my character to, not make, like, a full right-hand turn, but only take a path that's, 45 degrees to the right, that's super easy to program. But, so that's a problem I've been running into a little bit, was just the navigation system, because I took pictures, and a lot of places I just took bad pictures, too. So I had to go back and retake photos for several areas. The graveyard, but that's fine. I think the new graveyard is a lot better, too. And you specifically said that the graveyard puzzle hunt was really kind of tough. And so I added a clue system at the top of the screen.
Yeah, which I think is quite helpful. Yeah, because I'm so easily distracted. So we would get like an instruction about which gravestone we were looking for, and then I would start wandering around in the graveyard, clicking on things, and then before too long, I would forget what I was supposed to be looking for. So now we have your objective kind of appears just at the top of your screen to remind you what it is you're trying to do, which I find quite helpful. And that could also maybe be something that we could even have an option to turn on or off, or I guess we can think about that later. Might be too tricky. I don't know.
That seems like work. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'd probably have to add like an extra three lines to make it optional on every single screen of the graveyard. On all 72 screens. Yes.
I don't want to diverge us too much, but that's something I've been dealing with in the Santa Claus game, too, because I have all of the characters blinking. They have blinking animations, and I wanted to have the option to turn that off in case it drives people out of their minds. And I'm 100% sure there's a simpler way to do it, but the thing I ended up landing on was that there's an if statement every single time an image shows up. So it's like, if... blinking is enabled, then show the blinking view. If not, then show the non-blinking view. So every single time a character appears there, and there's no way that's the best way to do that, but it's what I came up with. It would probably be something similar for the objectives, unless we figured out what the real way to do it is.
I'm saying that's the exact same way it is with the navigation in the Oregon Trail game is... there's three lines for the arrows on every single screen, and the yeah. back to map button on every single, it's not three lines, it's way more, but it's just, there's gotta be an easier way to do it, but yeah. I don't
we
know.
We are not necessarily efficient coders. At least I'm certainly not.
We still don't even know what tuples are. I read the explanation.
Oh, don't get me started on tuples.
For tuples, but...
Yeah, we had multiple people come to us in the Oorok Studios Discord channel to tell us what tuples are, and I think we now basically have it down.
I think it's...
Definitely.
It's important, I guess, if your thing... wow, thing is definitely a technical term there.
Definitely,
but
yeah.
If your thing is, I don't know, it automatically moves an image to the right every, like, every 2 seconds, your character moves to the right 20 pixels, and that's where tuples would be useful. I don't know. What sort of gaming situation would we need to move a character to in a certain direction in a regular pattern like that?
I actually have a good answer for this.
Oh boy, yeah, let's hear it.
No, yeah, I haven't done anything like this yet. But I'm at a part of the Santa Claus game where we have some characters kind of dancing on screen, and it occurred to me that one way to try to show that would be exactly that, have the characters kind of moving side to side while their dialogue is playing. So that would be exactly a spot where we would want to do something like that. Like, we would want to say, like, have them move X plus one, X minus one on a loop, like every 0.5 seconds or something like that, and have them kind of shifting side to side. So that would be a situation where we want to do something like that.
Okay.
This is all theoretical. I have not tried to program anything like that.
So you're going to program a tuple so the dancing Santa Claus can go left and right.
Yeah, no, I'm probably not. I'm going to be honest with myself. I'm probably not. But that would be cool if I did.
I've seen, I mean, it was in the Matches and Matrimony, which is also done in RenPy, where it's also the characters, when the characters are dancing, they're ballroom dancing, the game indicates by the two characters are just moving left and right, the sprite of the characters is just moving left and right on a loop.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Maybe I should try to look up how they do it then, because I mean, it would certainly look cool. If I was able to figure it out.
I should try to look that up. Yeah, I'll look it up.
It's just a question of
now.
how many cool new things I want to try to tackle at one time in one game. Like, I already have everyone blinking. That might be the cool thing I do in this game. We'll see.
I don't know. I'm sure it's something like it's just move left, move... Yeah, it's probably, you know, show character at left with move. And if character is at left, show character at right with move, and just they probably just moved back and forth between those two.
Yeah,
that's probably the easier way how they went about it. Yeah.
Maybe someday when I'm feeling particularly investigative, when I feel like really challenging myself, which is not often. Anyway, we were talking about the graveyard puzzle.
Yeah, the graveyard puzzle. There is no dancing in the graveyard. That would be pretty terrible, I think.
It would be very disrespectful.
Yeah. So the graveyard puzzle did that. The next puzzle in the game is the Ermatinger House puzzle, which I took a bunch of reshoots for. So I just took all the pictures over again. Actually looks kind of nice. It looks a lot better because all these pictures are taken in summertime as opposed to being taken in the dead of winter where all the branches and things are dead. But I'm forgetting off the top of my head what specifically I had to take reshoots for.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice. And it looks like, so for a lot of the, like, in that scene, there are various, like, objects that you have to collect in the game. And am I correct in saying that those are objects that, like, you just brought with you in real life and just like put on the ground and took a photo of in the exact position, is that correct?
Yes, but because I took the reshoots,
cool.
I had to like copy paste you know, the item from the one picture to the reshoot, because I didn't actually bring like the penny with myself the second time around. Oh, now I remember. Now I remember specifically. Okay, so the first time I come here to the Ermatinger house, I took the pictures. So you walk up, you can walk up to the front door, and that's three pictures. I forgot. I took the pictures left and right and forwards, but I forgot to take the pictures backwards. That is the pictures of the character going back to the street. And so I, without taking reshoots, I would have had to make it so our character has to walk backwards away from the house. It just looks so weird. I legitimately tried it though that way because I forgot to take pictures of in one of the four directions. Yeah, but the others, definitely I took pictures. I was there. The kids were there. Basically, yeah. On that one day, the kids were there. I tried to have them in photos whenever I could.
Yeah.
I don't think you've seen the next scene, the Liberty Plaza one.
No, the next scene I've seen after that is the empty lot scene that we've been emailing about last week or so.
Yeah, so to briefly describe Liberty Plaza, that one is a straight line, which is super easy for me. at one point, it was not going to be a straight line, because, like I said, I thought the navigation would be different. So there's like a fountain, and so I took pictures of going around the left-hand side of the fountain and going around the right-hand side of the fountain. I didn't know how to do that in the new interface, besides, like, you know, have the player click on the left side of the fountain or the right-hand side of the fountain. But it's like, what would the up arrow do? Does the up arrow pick the left fork or the right fork? So I couldn't figure that out, so in this case, the arrow just picks the right fork, because that one had a cooler view. So they just that's what the arrow does. The choice is taken away from the character. Yeah, and then the scene after that is the municipal elevator, and they're actually selling t-shirts at the municipal elevator now, believe it or not.
What?
I rode the Oregon City municipal elevator shirts. Which is just crazy to me, but yeah.
Sorry, I'm if you heard typing, it's because I'm Googling it right this second.
Municipal Oregon City.
Wait, why is this elevator such a big thing in Oregon City?
I don't know. It is a pretty awesome elevator, I'll be honest, but it's not...
Oh my gosh, I found a different t-shirt. This one has the picture of the elevator on the back. It says, going up.
Yep, that's the one they're. I think that's the one they're selling. So you could buy it at the elevator. So
you can buy it online right now. $20 plus shipping.
Oh well, forget shipping. I'll just walk over to the elevator.
We're gonna have to get some of these shirts for when we show this game at conventions. We'll get that one and the it's Willamette, damn it, shirt.
Yeah, no, Willamette.
No, I did it wrong anyway.
Willamette rhymes with damn it.
Willamette, damn it. I'm furious with myself right now.
Well, I find it funny that they have the elevator. I guess I'll have to try to get a picture of the full elevator, though, if that's what the elevator pictures. That's the famous thing for the elevator, because in the actual game, the scene is just down and around the bottom of the elevator, because the storyline is that the dog is lost, and we're trying to capture the lost dog. And that was really hard to program. I couldn't quite figure out how to do it correctly. And so I ended up just programming the entire elevator area twice. So it's once is the first time you go through the area and you're chasing after the dog. And you can't ever go backwards because I could not figure out how to like reset the dog's position. And so it's like, okay.
Oh, it's too funny. Oh, wow. Redbubble has knockoff Oregon City elevator t-shirts.
But they're so cool, you obviously would make knockoffs.
Even better. Oh my gosh. I had no idea this was such a thing.
it's new, so it wasn't there. Yeah. I don't know, 4 months ago or whatever. 6 months.
Like, is it a really cool elevator?
It's got a cool looking top, but like I said, the top's not That's in true. The actual game. So
what?
I mostly took pictures in and around the bottom part and the stairway part because that it made for an easy puzzle. I didn't actually go inside the elevator, although I could now because of COVID. They don't have an elevator operator anymore. So it used to be somebody who was inside the elevator, and that was their job, was riding the elevator and keeping track of how many people went up and how many people went down. But that person has since been replaced, and they've been replaced by somebody working the merchandise store.
I mean, the elevator scene is always, I mean, it's a great opportunity for cheesy elevator music, which I always appreciate. Do that every single time we have an elevator in one of our games. Never heard elevator music in real life. Always put elevator music in my games anyway.
Yeah. And let's see, there's one picture where I had to use my Photoshop skills to get rid of Mary. I think I just said that the premises were chasing after the dog because the dog has gotten lost in this scene. And so the dog was a terrible actress, and she would always just be looking at Mary or trying to run towards Mary because she didn't want to be hanging around in the middle of nowhere with just her leash. That's boring to the dog. And one of the photos is actually a dog running directly to me, but I felt like it was a good enough angle. It looks like the dog is just standing still.
Sure.
So it's a very, it works very well. You probably wouldn't know it's Photoshopped. It took forever, but I actually did a good Photoshop job, so it looks like the dog is staring at the wall, when in reality the dog is staring at Mary, who is trying to hide out of frame, and did not.
Oh, I'm sure it looks great. I remember, I mean, before, I was saying this last month, I was really impressed by the Photoshopping in the rock climbing puzzle, so I'm sure this looks just as good.
Yeah, let's see.
I can't believe I still pronounced Willamette wrong.
That's okay.
And I still just had to think about it just now, too. pronunciation just changes depending on your regional accent. Oh, look at the doggy! Oh, look at the doggy on Discord!
Yep, so that's the Photoshop.
Oh, what a good pup. Oh, so cute.
So hopefully it's just not obvious that Mary was standing in that exact location.
No, I would have no idea that there was any Photoshop done to this.
That's the one I had to Photoshop. I also did the map. I redid the map screen, and so Willamette River appears. I think the words Willamette River appear specifically for that reason, because we have the Willamette River reference later on. The other thing I said, so you had seen scene number 9. So why don't you talk about that one with the KFC?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, there isn't a whole lot to go over, but it's a scene that sort of takes place in this empty lot in kind of a commercial-type area. And there's a big old KFC in the background, and it appeared in many, many pictures. So we were trying to figure out, like, is this going to get us in trouble? This is probably going to get us in trouble. So I was thinking about, like, Photoshopping the KFC logo out of every single image, but they were just... There were just so many images that had the KFC logo in it. So what we just decided that the player can't look in that direction anymore, basically.
Yeah, so I basically flipped the entire scene backwards. So
yeah.
Because it was originally that the character goes... The lot is basically a rectangle, so the character goes from one corner to the corner that's directly opposite of it. And so I just swapped the corner that you start in and the corner that you go to. And yes, I did find a picture of the Oregon City elevator, so I'll make sure to slip that back into the game.
Yeah. So it just, like, it takes you, the elevator itself, it takes you from kind of the street level to, like, the top of this kind of cliff area that I'm looking at?
Yep,
and that's what the elevator does?
Yep, and that's where the upper town was. And it's sort of a big deal back in the day, I think.
How old is the elevator?
It's over 100 years old. Obviously, this is the newer version.
Okay.
But they have pictures.
I was
going to
say, that does not look that old.
They have pictures from, like, the old, old elevators.
That's so interesting. We don't have anything like that around here. I think the only time I've seen, like, a municipal elevator like that was at a trip to Niagara Falls we took one time. There was, like, an elevator from the parking area down to the falls. Well, kind of a similar idea. Except I think we had to pay, I believe, to ride that elevator. Do they charge for this elevator?
No, this one is free. It's
okay,
the only
good
outdoor municipal elevator in the United States.
Oh, amazing.
And it was built in 1954 to 1955, yes.
Basically have a Disney World ride right in your backyard, yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, with the KFC thing, I wasn't sure how to do it,
yes.
And so we're just going with the solution that we just don't see the KFC, and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the sort of thing, like, I don't know, I never really know what, like, the best protocol is for, you know, showing logos or mentioning a copyrighted company name, so I very much just tend to err on the side of caution, because I know that they could, you know, be upset with us. They also might not give a crap, you know, or whatever, but it could be an issue, so it's best to avoid it where we can. Like when I made poor Hugh reshoot all of his videos for Internet Court because he had a Star Wars poster in the background.
Oh, no. Well, I'm wondering, because there are other places visible from the empty lot. There's OC Taco, which just
right.
opened, actually. It's they have a now open
yeah, I did,
sign.
I did see that, too, yeah. Maybe we'll have to do some more Photoshop work, or I mean, for places that are just like local one-off businesses, they're not like, you know, big corporate chains. We could also just try to contact them, and be like, "Hey, are you cool with this, or do you want us to change it?"
Yeah, maybe OC Taco. Help. It's saying right here. It's I mean, it's only got the one location, and like I said, it's opened within like the past few months, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, they might be more amenable to us including them in the game like that. I mean, theoretically, everyone should be amenable, because unless we're saying, like, OC Taco stinks, like, it's, you know, it's promotion, it's advertising in its own way.
It's free advertising, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just in the background, because that's where it is in real life, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also the weed shop, too, so that'll be a fun one.
I did enjoy seeing that there.
That'll be... We'll see.
Maybe that's the way to play it. Like, any, you know, corporate chains we try to Photoshop out and not reference, and any local chains we can try to contact them and see how they feel, and if they have no problem with it, then we just leave it in.
Well, to be honest, it's not like you can click on any of the buildings in this game, really, and your character talks about them. Mm. So,
yeah. Well, if it would make them feel better, we could be like, "Man, I love OC Tacos."
Yeah, their tacos are the best.
Especially if we, yeah. Well, they do talk about what they talk about, like an ice cream place or something, or
Dutch
a donut
Brothers.
Shop,
yeah,
like
Dutch
that.
Brothers. It's the best.
Yeah.
So I was gonna just as like a silly Easter egg. There's a location on the map that's called Paul's House. I was just gonna place it right at the Dutch Brothers.
Awesome. Beautiful.
So Paul just lives and gets coffee all day long.
Well, maybe Paul lives in like an apartment above Dutch Brothers.
No, it's a one-story thing.
Okay. All right, he lives in the basement.
Yes.
They don't actually know he lives there. the phantom of the coffee shop.
Yeah. So I took pictures. I did reshoots of the next two scenes. I think that's it. Yeah, I took pictures of the next two scenes. One is the promenade. So in this scene, we're supposed to find two items. One is, I think, it's your beard comb, and the other is a pair of glasses.
Oh, I'm supposed to send you pictures of that. Oops, I forgot about that.
I can't find the glasses, so I'm gonna look again. I found a pair of glasses which is similar, so I might need to Photoshop it, or I'll take the ones I found which found similar, and I'll turn them upside down and pretend they are hiding underneath your beard comb, and the character picks them both up at the same time, and that'll be a good workaround.
Yeah, works for me.
I think the next place I went to took reshoots was the, I don't know, the river viewpoint. I noticed in the background for some of the pictures, it's this restaurant, and they basically just put up a flag so it's visible by the from the freeway, which is, it's like, we're open now, call us for open for takeout. They have the number. So I'm like, what are we going to do with that? I'm like, maybe I'll just put an Oregon flag on there. It's like, their flag is now an Oregon flag, and I figured we could probably do that also with the pot shop if we have to.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah, for a lot of these, like, I feel like I'm pretty handy with Photoshop. You're clearly handy with Photoshop. So for a lot of the stuff, we should be able to take care of it. It's just a question of, like, how many scenes do we have to make, like, a same or similar change to? Like, if we have to fix the pot store in, like, you know, a bunch of different images like we would have with KFC, then it becomes a little cumbersome. But it's something we can do, especially depending on how important the background is to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the interesting. That's quite a departure from our other games, where we never see like multiple views of the same space. So like, if I'm going through a scene in a mall and changing all the stores to be cat puns, I don't have to worry about making that same change in a photo that's the same backdrop but from a different angle, where it's like different enough that I can't just copy and paste the changes that I already made, so I basically have to redo it. Like, that doesn't really come up that much in our games before, but in this game, since you can see different structures from different angles, then it is something we need to worry about. It's different. New challenge.
Yeah. I think there's a puzzle where you have to know the year that Oregon was made into a state, and that's just on the state flag, so I probably should just, like, be posting Oregon state flags everywhere. It's like, that'd be easy, rather than slipping it into the dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, anytime we need to cover something up, we just put the Oregon flag on it.
And it's like, hey, it's a clue for a puzzle. Great. We're good.
Yeah, it's really wild. Like, this is another thing that hasn't been something that we've gotten to do for most of our games. Like, a lot of times when I'm doing Cat President, I'm not really working with, like, photos that I've gone out and taken specifically for the game. Sometimes I am, but a lot of the times it's just photos that I have already happened to have taken in the past, and I have, like, I've been keeping sort of a library of interesting backgrounds from places that I go, so a lot of times I'm just pulling images from that. But here, you're you know, going out to the field and taking pictures in real places. That affords us a lot of opportunities that we haven't had before, like we were talking about before, how you're able to just, you know, you need an image of a wooden box in this scene. You just bring a wooden box with you and put it there and take the picture instead of having to Photoshop it in later. It adds a very interesting level of realism to the game. It's cool.
Yeah. I got one more note here on my Oregon Trail stuff.
Sure.
Never mind, we'll forget about it. It's not important.
Oh, Dutch Brothers is throughout the western United States. I didn't know that.
Oh, man. They're always busy, so at least the one in Oregon City is.
Headquartered in Grants Pass, Oregon.
Oh, you have no idea where that is.
No, absolutely not.
I only have a vague idea of where that is.
They also have a, quote, not-so-secret menu, whatever that means.
Whoa, I didn't know that. I'm going to have to ask for stuff on the secret menu now.
Yeah. Can you ask, can I please have the secret menu?
Yes.
Does that work, do you think? Okay, quick update, Santa Claus game. I'm just about done the first pathway of six, the sexy Santa Claus pathway. Each pathway has two endings, the nice ending and the naughty ending. I'm just finishing up the naughty ending now. That basically is just the good ending and bad ending. Ran into a little more trouble on Fiverr.com, if you can believe it.
What? No.
Yeah. So before, I was having trouble getting people who follow instructions, so this time I was like, okay, I got this. I'm going to hire someone that I worked with on a previous game. They'll know what to do. They've done it before. So I approached someone, and they were like, they said yes immediately. They remembered working on our previous game, and we got really far into it. I was like, all right, here's all the poses I need. Here's very specific directions. They're like, okay. And then they created an order for it. And I was sort of expecting, since the last time it was $5 for five photos, I was sort of expecting this to be in a similar price range, especially considering it was only 4 photos. But they upped their price to $60.
Really? For 4 photos?
Yeah. So that sort of ended there. They tried to negotiate a little bit, but I mean, there's no coming down from $60 to $5, which is what I'm able to pay for this small amount of photos. So that got thrown away. So still haven't filled the role I've been trying to do on Fiverr. I'm sure I'll give up eventually, but I'm not quite there yet.
Poor Fiverr. Yeah.
But that's a sad note to end this on. So let's.
I have a sad note too. I don't know if it's a sad.
Oh yeah.
Note.
Oh please, let's do your sad note first. Yeah.
Oh no, most of these things on the secret menu aren't on the secret menu. They're on the actual menu. So I don't know if it was a secret menu in the past, and they got upgraded or what. But it's like no, it's like these are definitely things you can order. They're on the list. So.
Well, that's extremely disappointing. This talk of secret menus, it kind of reminds me of when I went to McDonald's one time with my vegetarian wife, and she was like trying desperately to find something that she wanted, and she ultimately settled on asking them for oatmeal, and they were like, "What? What? We don't sell oatmeal." And this was not an issue of it being on the secret menu; it was on the menu. It was right there. They sell oatmeal. And she had to argue with the person, like, no, really? I feel like just no one had ever ordered it before at that McDonald's. It was there.
Well, I think it was a couple of months ago when McDonald's got mad at me for like, trying to get a Big Mac at 9 a.m. or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They don't like doing burgers at breakfast.
But, I mean, they used to have all-day breakfast. What happened to it? Oh, yeah. Corona happened to it. When are they going to bring it back?
Did they? I didn't know that was a thing. I just remember always being, like, horribly disappointed when I would go to get fast food too early in the day, and it would just be, like, pancakes. Okay. We have a listener question this month from our friend Victoria Budkey over on Twitter, and she asked us, if you could recast one of your visual novels with celebrities of your choosing, who is in your character lineup?
I misread that. Okay.
Oh, no.
I did not see recast. I was thinking cast. And like I said, I wrote like 14, 15 pages of The Mom's Game. And so I think it's like, okay, well, who could I cast?
I thought you were going to say you wrote 15 pages of possible celebrities for
No. That would be too many.
Like, wow, you really did your work for this podcast, Michael. Best in the biz over here.
No, so
sorry,
I...
Sorry, you had 15 pages of stuff for The Mom Game, you were saying?
Yeah, and so I'm like, who would I cast? I just thought I was going to cast Sofia Vergara as Augusta in The Mom's Game, and then John Cena. I was going to have him play Sean Hardy, but now I just want to get one of the Hardy Boys wrestlers to play Sean Hardy, because that could work as well, because it's just supposed to be a guy. He doesn't have many lines, he's just supposed to be intimidating looking, and that's it in this pathway.
Ooh. I'm going to say, so both of the Hardy Boys are kind of bad actors, and neither of them are intimidating looking.
Oh,
so
no!
I think your...
John Cena
think
was
your
probably more
John Cena might have been better.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you have any other roles cast?
For The Mom's Game, no, those were just the two. Because The Mom's Game is... They're moms, so they need to be, like, mom age. So I was thinking, it's like, well, what would the two... I know we had two, you know, 2019, they had that Nancy Drew movie and then the Nancy Drew TV show. It's like, they'd be great, but both of those actresses are too young to look like, you know, they have a 19-year-old kid or however old.
Well, sure, but, I mean, we have to publish this game first before anyone will pick it up for, like, film rights or anything if we're going to make, like, a movie based on it. So they might be an appropriate age by the time we get to that step.
That's good.
Yeah.
I know the one character who appears in all the pathways is like the 17-year-old Mia. So I don't know any 17-year-old actresses off the top of my head.
Yeah. So I sort of went a similar route. I was thinking more like if I were to like, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess she was thinking more like what celebrities would we have as like photo models for the games. But I sort of went the way you were thinking, celebrities we would cast in like the movie version of one of our games. Like I think we sort of did something similar before with like what voice actors we would have play the cats in Cat President. But anyway, I was casting actors for the pizza delivery boy who saved the world, the movie.
Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't thinking the movie. I was just thinking actual pictures.
Oh, you were. Oh, okay.
So that's
okay.
Why I specifically mentioned John Cena as somebody who looks intimidating. It's just 100% based
I
on
gotcha.
Looks because he's only got two poses. Because he doesn't say much. Before.
Okay, so yeah.
Spoiler alert: his character is murdered. So.
So for yours, it doesn't really matter if they're a good actor or not, anyway. Then, unless we have VO in this game.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be VO.
Really just their looks. Okay, you know, Jeff Hardy might be able to pull off intimidating. Maybe, especially if, like, he has, like, a sleeveless shirt and we can kind of see all of his tats.
Mm-hmm.
That might work. That would be pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I was definitely, like, thinking less about photos and models and more about a movie, which also probably isn't really what Victoria was thinking. But, anyway... Pizza Delivery Boy Save the World, the movie. In the role of Doug Rivers, which of course was Michael's character in the game, I cast Michael Cera, I was thinking.
Go from Michael, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of a slam dunk role for him.
Well, he's gotta be funny, and so that works just fine. It's also he does have sort of like the you know, the young and innocent look. I'm not sure if that works 100%. But
well, and he's certainly good at like playing awkward characters too. To
yeah, and the guy is
might
getting
almost
sort of he's sort of getting kicked around by the various people that are around him, and that's sort of what would work well.
To the point where it might almost be typecasting for him, so he might turn down the role because of that. Maybe he doesn't want to do this kind of role again, but I think he would be great. For Mr. Ami, I cast Cheech Marin. Of Cheech and Chong fame.
Okay.
And other things too, but actually what I primarily know him from is the audio cassette tape. My name is Cheech and I am a school bus driver.
My name is Cheech and I am a school bus driver. A yellow school bus driver is who I am.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Zootopia for sure.
No. But I can so easily picture Cheech being angry at Michael Cera's Doug Rivers and yelling at him all the time.
I was really thinking it would be a character actor that we would have that, because apparently...
Okay.
Just typical angry Italian guy is... I mean, that's a character that a lot of character actors are able to do. That basic character type shows up enough in movies and stuff. But I think one of those characters actors would totally jump on the opportunity... To play that type of character, but completely out of the context of being a mobster, or it's just
true.
Like, hey,
oh, okay,
I'm an Italian guy because I own a pizzeria, and
so you're picturing like Robert De Niro as Mr. Ami, like something like that.
Gosh, I was trying. I don't know,
man. What a movie poster we have right now: Michael Cera and Robert De Niro in the Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World. I would see that movie. Are you kidding me?
Let's take a look. Oh, man. Leo DiCaprio counts as... He's not an
Whoa.
Italian character actor. He's like he's like a big movie star, okay? I don't think he gets typecast as the Italian guy. Maybe Robert De Niro. Yeah, he gets typecast as the Italian guy. Same with Al
Pacino.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. And we know he likes comedy roles from, like, Meet the Parents and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think there's some potential there if you know, we just get our people to talk with his people. A couple more. The role of Finley, I was gonna cast as the most famous actress that I personally know, Victoria Budke. get a certain level of faithfulness to the original work that way, I think, by casting the same person who was in the video game in the movie.
Yeah, it's a cameo. It's the remake cameo. So that yeah. could work.
Well, it's not really a cameo. I mean, that's you know, one of the starring roles of the film. I don't know if it even counts as a cameo. It'd be really good trivia for the IMDb page.
Yeah,
certainly.
I know IMDb calls it a remake cameo. I mean,
oh okay,
or at least not IMDb, but TV Tropes. But that's what they call it. They call it a remake cameo,
oh, okay.
Even if it's a major role, they still consider
okay,
it's a cameo
that.
Because it's like, hey, you played somebody else in the original.
Let's see, a couple more. I have playing the role of Donnie Gore, who is. I guess this is kind of a spoiler, but you know it's been out a little while. He's sort of a villain in the game. I cast Nick Offerman in that role from Parks and Rec, among other things. I don't know if you've ever seen Parks and Rec, but
I have not. I'll just look it up right now. I'm sure I see it. Yeah, yep, that's a familiar face to me.
Yeah, he's been in lots of other stuff too. That's just the main
like
thing
memes.
I know him from.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, from yes, Nick Offerman of meme fame.
Yes.
Let's see, and I'll do one more. Perhaps the most important role in this game. Yes, most important, including even the main cast, the character of Pizza Thief. And I think we needed like a real like Hollywood hunk to really maintain a level of faithfulness to the game. So I was going to go with Chris Hemsworth for the Pizza Thief, I think.
That role might be too small for him. It would definitely have to be the Pizza Thief who is part of the secret organization trying to take over the world.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so we would have to expand the role of Pizza Thief, I guess. Maybe he could be, he could also be, yeah, like the guy that you meet outside of Donnie's house who can kill you if you select the wrong answers. Or he can play some other role in Big Bite.
Mm-hmm.
I also had Ed Sheeran as possibility for that role, just because of the one time I went to a gas station and someone asked if I was Ed Sheeran. I told them, yes, of course.
Let's see.
For those of you who don't know, Pizza Thief is a character that I play in the game. That's why it's extremely funny.
I guess you look like Ed Sheeran. I don't know.
Not really. I mean, we both have red hair and similar glasses.
Yeah.
My face is kind of taller than his, I feel like. I think his face is a little more squished, or mine is a little more stretched out. And his hair is more red.
I saw somebody who looked like you recently, but I forgot to mark it down. I'll see if I can find it again.
Was it Chris Hemsworth?
No, it wasn't. I don't think.
Dang. Anyway, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglethump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, or which celebrities we would cast in the film adaptations of our games, we would definitely love to hear those. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
Nope.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
A story will be told. Go!
Unicorn blood blended rebel.
Oh, sweet. Let's get that.
Is this real? I feel like if you went to your coffee shop and asked for the unicorn blood blend, I feel like you're going to get kicked out.
No.
No?